in Portland. People in the Drum is a concert celebrating the universal voice of the drum from the Native, Mexican, African, and Japanese cultures. Performers include the Painted Sky North Star Dancers, Metsukiya Yaoi, the Alex Addy Drummers, and Portland Taiko. There will also be drumming workshops for youth and more. That's the People of the Drum on Saturday, July 13th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Gateway Discovery Park, 10520 Northeast Halsey Street in Portland. More information can be found at kaboo.fm on the right side of home page under community events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. We're here tonight with Crystal Magana. Welcome, Crystal, to Prison Pipeline.
Thank you.
We're here tonight. We're going to be talking about the Coffee Creek Prison Fire Crew, and we'll also be talking about some stuff going on inside Coffee Creek. And I just want to say just a shout out to everyone who listens to Prison Pipeline. It is so, so nice to be back. I've been away for a long time, and it's really nice to be back. So Crystal, welcome to Prison Pipeline.
Thank you.
Thanks. So Crystal, can you tell me, we're going to be talking tonight about the Coffee Creek firefighters, which I guess started in 2015?
Yes.
Okay, great. So can you tell me a little bit about the Coffee Creek firefighters? How did the program start?
In 2015, I remember walking down the minimum corridor to the housing unit, and a random flyer was posted asking anybody who was interested to send a kite to the captain to be considered, and that there would be more information to come. And I thought, oh, well, this is interesting. And for me, getting closer to paroling, I was open and wanting to be a part of and learn anything I could to open up as many doors for myself as possible, because I served 16 and a half years, and I knew it was going to be a little bit of a fight, a little bit of a struggle to get my feet on solid ground when I paroled. So I sent a kite. At that time, I was already running and walking every day, very much into being as healthy and as fit as I could, because I like that those kinds of things to begin with. And so there was just that one posting.
Wow, that's great. And a kite is like a note. It's a way of communicating.
Yeah, so today what I found out since I paroled is we have the form of emails or this messenger on Facebook where you write a quick little note and you shoot it off to your buddies or, you know, to get involved in college or those kinds of things. And inside prison, it's a piece of paper, and on one side you fold it in half, and it's has who it's addressed to, and you put your information on there so they know who it came from, and then you just write out your question, or in this case, that you're interested in being a part of the fire crew.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. So part of the reason that we're talking about this right now is because it's the beginning of fire season.
Yep.
It's just we're getting right to that part, that time of the year,
mm-hmm.
when people, there's lightning strikes, people are out barbecuing, people are cutting their grass, you know, especially out in rural Oregon.
Oh yeah.
And other places too. And I think that people don't necessarily know that if you have a bunch of fire crews going out and fighting fires here in Oregon, California, and other parts of the West, that some of those fire crews might actually be women,
mm-hmm.
Who are in prison,
yep.
but this is actually their job,
yep.
that they're doing,
yep.
even though they're serving time.
Yeah, that is very true. And this year actually marks the 5th year since fire crew started. And once we started getting more information, we found out that there was going to be a pack test, which is a 45-pound weight that you carry. You have to walk it in 45 minutes or less. When mm-hmm. you pass that, that's one more step closer. And then you have to clear medical so that you can go out. Some people with certain medical conditions can't go out because it actually will make it harder for their health. And the pack test for us, it was very interesting. We didn't have backpacks yet. So the the clothing room, Sergeant Foreman, he's also part of fire crew, and he was running the clothing room, and he had his crew make with old jeans that were kind of ripped up these makeshift like vests out of these jeans, and he had inserts off of the sides of them, like on your back and your front. And then what we did is we took plastic bags and filled them with sand from the volleyball pit to make sure that it weighed 45 pounds, and that's what we carried around.
And that's part of your training.
Yes. And the first year there was several of us that did it in less than 30 minutes. I think my first time was 25 minutes and some change. Mm-hmm. Most of the men that are inside prison fighting fires, they're just barely under the 45 minutes. So right there, right off the bat, the people that were getting started to get involved and the captains that were involved were like, wow, maybe we really do have something here. This is something worth pushing forward. And after the pack test, then we went through and we had it's two parts to basic wildland firefighting. And we did it over the course of 5 days. We had Oregon Department of Fire come out. We also had other crew bosses from other prisons come out and run those classes for us. We took tests all together. And when I say all together, I'm talking about all of the women that sign up for fire crew, along with all of our crew bosses. We were all green to this. So we were all sitting right next to each other, because when you go out on a fire, you're not by yourself anymore. You're one team. There's 10 of you out on that line, but you are one team. You breathe together. You move together. Whoever is having a hard time, you slow down and have a hard time with them. Like, you are one, because you're risking your life when you go out there. And over the course of that time, besides the classroom training and going over footage and how to use radios, we learned how to roll out hose if we have to use hose off of a truck. We learned how to climb inside of a fire shelter. So a fire shelter, people are thinking, oh, it's like some tent or like some little sleeping bag you get into. That is so far from what it is. It's like a wrapper for a burrito. And you have to drop and get into that, and your face is planted into the ground. And they want you to do that in like 5 seconds or less, or 10 seconds or less. And all of us did it with no problem.
Wow.
So we were like so excited when we got our tools. All of our equipment was hand-me-downs from the men's prison. None of it fit right. Our boots, they were able to get us boots so that we broke those in, but that was even quite the hilarious show. All of us were outside walking in boots because nobody told us how to try to break in this leather, because they're true fire crew boots. They're graded for fire. So when you're out there, and all of us had so many blisters, we went through so many boxes of Band-Aids, but we did it with a smile on our face because we were excited for this new chapter, for this opportunity to say, hey, you know, we're not just women here. Like, we want to fight and we want to help protect our lands that are out there. Like, we were so excited to be part of this awesome opportunity. And the more that we got excited, the more that the Coffee Creek staff members got excited, like Lieutenant Becker, who's still currently overseeing the fire crew right now. I spoke with him this morning, and we were talking about when I was in there when the fire crew started, and he said, you know, it's a legacy. And I agreed with him. The women today, there are 62 women.
Wow.
Four fire crews.
Oh, that's amazing.
So there is not going to be a time that Coffee Creek is not ready and able to step up. They are currently waiting. That's why Lieutenant Becker couldn't be here tonight for their call. Because currently in the state of Oregon, there are 200 fires going right now.
Wow.
And Oregon Department of Forestry has declared that Coffee Creek is one of their first fire crews from prison that they're going to call out. They want them out there on the line because those women go out there with respect and with dignity and do the job, they said, even better than the men. And Lieutenant Becker, he said that he's like a proud father because he was there from day one, just like I was. And he's getting ready to retire in a little over a year. But he said, out of, you know, his 25 years with Department of Corrections, the one thing that has made him the proudest to be a part of is fire crew. It has made him so proud. He said he's going to go out and get a tattoo to memorialize all of us and this awesome adventure that he's got to be a part of.
Wow, that's such a great story.
It is.
That's amazing. Now, a lot of people, maybe we could talk through what it takes to become a firefighter if you're a Coffee Creek. First of all, I think you have to be on the minimum side, right?
Or
you have
to
near the end of your sentence?
Yes and no. So okay. I just found out that Sergeant Foreman got it approved with Lieutenant Becker, and Becker thought it was like the best idea ever to start going into the medium maximum side and having like information sessions for women. And it doesn't matter if you're like 4 years until you go to minimum. Mm-hmm. It's so that you can get yourself, if you're interested and you think this might be for you, in the best position possible when you transfer to minimum. He's letting those women know, you know, the biggest thing is walking, running, learning how to hydrate yourself properly so that you're taking in the right amount of calories, not just those, you know, little Debbie's off of, you know, the commissary, but eating those veggie trays and eating the right amounts of rice and beans off of those veggie trays. Because a lot of women don't have money just to buy all of their things off of the commissary, so they rely on the food that is served to them, and trying to eat as much protein as possible, staying away from sugars because they break down faster. You get a high and then you get a low, and those aren't going to give you the long lasting endurance, because when you go out on a fire, you are burning a minimum of 9,000 calories a day.
Wow.
So that's why they send them out with two.
I still want to go on that diet,
right? Yeah, that's why they send them out with two, I mean, just amazingly packed lunches. And what they put in those, right, is not just like a deli sandwich meat. What they put in there is tuna fish, which you can buy off a canteen, or peanut butter, which you can also buy off a canteen, things like that, hard-boiled eggs, stuff like that, and water. You go out there with water and Gatorade, because you have to have enough electrolytes also to counter the water, because you can get sick being out there if you don't have enough electrolytes or enough water. So that's very important. But he explains to them, you know, getting out there and doing weight, strengthening your arms, strengthening your legs, because when you transfer to minimum, you're going to do a pack test, which is, like I said, 45 pounds. Today they have the true pack test, which is your backpack, which is what you would be wearing when you go out on the fire line. You're also, so you got to walk that with 45 pounds in 45 minutes or less. That's 3 miles. And then you also got to go through medical. Yes. You think that that's, nothing, you know, 3 miles. Oh, man, it's a lot when you got weight on you.
And at Coffee Creek, you have to just go around the little track, what, 30 times?
Let me think. I think in medium maximum, it might be 30 times as a mile.
Yeah.
But in the minimum, I want to say it's like 11 That's laps. And they have it marked out when they get to minimum. Yeah. And then
that sounds grueling.
Oh, man, it is. It is, but it's worth it. It is so worth it. And then when you get to minimum, you sign up, and then you do the pack test, but you also go through medical and get cleared. So things medically that will restrict you is any medication that you have to go to Medline for, anything that's controlled. So like sleeping medication, stuff like that. And what nobody wants you to do is stop any of those medications for the sole purpose of joining fire crew. They need you to be healthy. And a lot of those medications are necessary. Or if you're diabetic, those kinds of things, because they don't have the ability to administer those medications out there. They don't have the ability to stop and give you an insulin shot if you need it. So things like that. And if you, for instance, if you have COPD and you think you got a good handle on it, or asthma and you think you got a good handle on it, but if your lungs can't handle it, because when you're out there, it's a lot of smoke, and it's a different kind of smoke than just the heat that comes down and then radiates back off of the yard and that concrete. So those kinds of things will restrict you. But anything else that you can stop yourself from taking, or figure out a different way to cope with those things, like if you're really stressed and you figure out, well, if I walk more or run more, and that way you can stop taking that medication. But the biggest thing is they don't want you to stop something that you need, because they need you to be safe and healthy at the end of the day. Everyone's going home. They want you to go home.
So getting back to some of the, just the basics of the, like maybe what people don't know. And please don't take this as any disrespect, because I really don't mean this question or statement as any kind of disrespect to Coffee Creek, but it's my understanding that the pay is very minimal.
Yes.
You really don't get paid almost anything.
No,
and
you don't.
And you're risking your life.
That is true. So
how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, in there, it was actually a lot of money, because all the jobs inside Coffee mm-hmm. Creek are on what's called a PROS point system. Mm-hmm. So every job has a set amount of points that you earn a day. If you show up and you do your job the way that your supervisor wants you to, the end of the month, they tally up all those points. There's brackets. Those brackets equate to a dollar amount. So let's say you make, you know, 12 points a day. You're going to get like $50 at the end of the month mm-hmm. or the beginning of the following month. With Fire Crew, you get $3 a day. Mm-hmm. So if you're going out every day, which can happen, you're making a lot of money.
Right.
But on the flip side of it, the rest of the money, what does happen, because you're making such a large amount of money, you're getting paid. The officers get the Fire Crew pay too. Mm-hmm. But what happens for the inmates is that goes towards room and board because mm-hmm. it's such a large amount of money.
Right. No, which, I understand.
Yeah. And you know,
I mean, you're in prison.
Yeah.
Even if you're out fighting fires.
Yeah.
Prison.
And so in prison, you learn to deal with it and you are looking at like, man, $3 is a lot of money a day. Mm-hmm. But when you parole and you realize, wow, I've been doing this for 2 years, or I've been mm-hmm. doing this my whole 4 years of being in minimum. And you mm-hmm. think about that money. And what that money can do for an inmate getting out of prison, that can help them get their license back. Mm-hmm. That can help them get into an apartment. That can help them with clothing. That can help them with a small little car to get them back and forth to work, to help them be sustainable.
Right.
So in that respect, is it fair? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. It is not. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, the opportunity that they have, there's no dollar sign that could be equated to that. Because even today, you got women out here like Effie Fulton that's been fighting fire since she paroled. Mm-hmm. You got women like Kathy Danzuka that's crew boss fighting fires.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
That was my next question.
Yes. So, and mm-hmm. Kathy Danzuka is getting close to 50, mm-hmm. you know, and that's remarkable. Mm-hmm. And not only is it remarkable, she did it prior to getting into trouble and going to Coffee Creek, but she got out and now she's doing it again.
Oh, wow.
And they love her out there. She's mm-hmm. running crews that these men and other women that can get onto them are like, I want her to be my boss. I want to go on her crew. How can mm-hmm. I get on her crew? Mm-hmm. You know, and then you got Maddie Spino that's also out here running crews and mm-hmm. waiting for her fire to go out. Mm-hmm. So, or waiting for a fire so she can be called out. Mm-hmm. So the thing is the skills and the opportunity that we were given inside Coffee Creek, like there is, you can't put a dollar sign to it. And the women that sign up for it, you're signing up because you want to be a part of something remarkable. Mm-hmm. But not only that, you're signing up for something that is, you're doing your part in giving back by actually fighting and saving our lands. Mm-hmm. And then you're opening up an opportunity for when you get out of prison.
Sometimes saving people's lives.
So. Yes, absolutely saving people's lives. Like one of the first contracts that we had when I started in 2015 was going out and cutting fire line for the neighborhoods. And when I say neighborhoods, I'm talking about the surrounding Clackamas County, Washington County. So they're out there with our neighbors cutting fire line for, you know, sometimes older folks that can't get out there and do it for themselves mm-hmm. to be, it's a preventative measure so that their house doesn't come close to catching on fire. Mm-hmm.
Were you still in when the Eagle Creek fire happened?
No, I had paroled. I have been out actually. June 27th was my 3 years since I paroled.
Mazel tov. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. But yeah, when I was inside, we went to, it's either called Brown's Meat or Brown's Camp down there in Tillamook. Mm-hmm. And we were put through a test mm-hmm. to see whether or not, well, what's these women about? What do they think they're going to come out here and fight this fire? Well, let's see. Mm-hmm. And they also had the men out there that were doing a control burn with us from South Fork. And they were impressed. They were so impressed that here we are 5 years later.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, Crystal, you mentioned that there are some women who have been in and they came out and now they're actually working and they're employed as fire crew and even as fire crew bosses.
Yep.
So can you talk a little bit about that? How does that work? Can anyone who gets out, if they've done time on a fire crew, can they then apply for a job like here in Oregon or anywhere?
Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, when you parole, your certs, they call them certs or certificates, are good for a year. Mm-hmm. So every year you have to redo your PAC test, and then the classroom training's every 2 years. But mm-hmm. in Coffee Creek, they like to do it every year just so that everyone's together going through the classes, everyone's being super refreshed. And when you parole, wherever you are with those certs, you can go either straight to the Oregon Department of Forestry and apply with them, or you can go online. And like Lieutenant Becker, Sergeant Foreman, Officer, he's either Officer or Corporal Luke, who's still part of the fire crew, any of those bosses, Lieutenant Wiley, who also came over from South Fork to help us with fire crew. All of them, you can go to any one of them, ask them for information. They're going to print you out so much. You're going to be like, whoa, I didn't know there were so many different places. And you can call them, email them, and get plugged right in.
So like some of the other programs at Coffee Creek, including When Women in Trades used to be at Coffee Creek, or The Salon, or DHS, or whatever programs are going on. This is another program that trains women in an employable skill that they can
absolutely
do when they get out.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yep. And they can start the day after they parole if they wanted.
That's great. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I was really wondering about that. Have you done that since you got out? Did you think about it?
I did. And mm-hmm. I was actually, so when I paroled, it was in June. I had, through Native Services with Trish Jordan. She brought in the Oregon Women pre-apprenticeship program. She brought in Abby Bandaraga, who at the time was running the program, to talk about it. And I was like, wow, it's a free 8-week class for women. It's pre-apprenticeship, so you learn all the basics. And then you get direct entry into any of the unions and a lot of the mom-and-pop shops. And the mom-and-pop shops are basically, they just aren't union. You get benefits and perks, but it's just not union. And so I signed up for that. I started that program the following week after I paroled, completed that. But prior to being released, like I said, I took advantage of every opportunity I had. Well, another flyer went up to go and get your flagger certification. So I did that and paid for that. And that was $80. It was 1-day class for 4 hours.
Is that the people who turn the signs on the street when there's road construction?
Yeah, okay. but interesting enough, that's what I thought the only thing that they did. But they actually shut down freeways.
Oh, wow.
They do a lot more than just that. They go and they put out those big signs that you see that's like on the back of a trailer. They set those out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked with them. I got hired on with them like 2 weeks after I paroled. And I said, look, I'm going through this class. Just got out of prison. You know, this is what I want to do. I want to join a union. I think I know what I want to do, but not quite sure. And they're like, we absolutely support that. And the company I worked for is called D&H Flagging. They're the oldest flagging company here in the metropolitan area. And they primarily hire folks with a legal history.
Mm-hmm.
Like over 80% of their employees have been to jail or prison.
Oh, that's great.
That is great. And so when I completed that program, I joined Local 29 Ironworkers. I went through their pre-apprenticeship program, which was a week. And they call it Hell Week, and that's for a good reason, because it puts you through the paces to see if this is what you want, and also lets them see if they think that you got what it takes. Well, I completed that, and thank you to the pack test and be able to packing that around. I had to carry 80 pounds of rebar by myself down and back the length of a city block, which was one lap.
Mm-hmm.
Had to do 30 of those in 30 minutes or less. I did that in 22 minutes and some change.
Wow.
I was the only girl during that Hell Week, and I was the first one to lunch. And then right after that, so that was mid-October, and December 19th, I got my call out to start my first job, which is to help build the new Google site down in the Dalles.
That's great. We're talking with Crystal Magana from... we're on Prison Pipeline on 90.7 KBOO FM, and we're talking with Crystal Magana about the Coffee Creek firefighters. There are four crews now out of Coffee Creek, which is the women's prison. It's the women's state prison here in Oregon. It's located in Wilsonville, and there are four fire crews that go out every year and fight fires. And this program was started 5 years ago. And it's now one of the most popular programs at Coffee Creek. And these women go out every year during fire season, and they risk their lives. Crystal, we've got about 5 minutes left. In the last 5 minutes, let's talk just for maybe a couple minutes about, when you were serving on crew from 2015 to 2017?
16,
thank you. Did you go fight any fires?
When I started, we just went out and tested to prove ourselves to be able to go. And then right as I was paroling, they got their first call out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you talked with any of the women who have actually been out there?
Oh, yeah. They love it. And I've seen the pictures. And they Absolutely love it. And if you go onto the Coffee Creek website, mm-hmm. you can go and locate the fire crew inside of there. And there's mm-hmm. pictures I just found out and videos. And you can oh. see from the very beginning in 2015 all the way through now, pictures of these ladies out there fighting the fire.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, great. That's the Coffee Creek Correctional Facility website.
Yes.
Uh-huh, and it's probably under ODOC somewhere, under yeah. the Oregon Department of Corrections. Mm-hmm. So I don't have that URL right now, but if you Google it, you can find it.
Yeah.
And just look for the Coffee Creek Firefighters. Mm-hmm. What's it like? I mean, what do you think it's like facing a fire? Is it scary?
Yes. Yes and no. So it's scary because you're out there and it's something that's bigger than you
mm-hmm.
that you have no control over. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, going to prison, and like for me, I said I did 16 and a half years. I was in a very abusive relationship, forced into prostitution at the age of 14. So I never had control over my life.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to make the decision that I was going to go out and put myself at this level of danger on my own terms,
mm-hmm.
it was very freeing and very rewarding. And for women that join the fire crew, those that are currently in it and those that have since paroled, it is right now it is considered the most elite program in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is because these women now look at themselves with more dignity and more esteem and more respect because of what they're out there doing. And it's not just when they go out on a fire, they're not just dealing with Coffee Creek staff. They're now dealing with the Oregon Department of Forestry. They're also out there working side by side other fire crews out there, and they're giving each other respect and thanking one another that, hey, thanks for not letting me be out here by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for walking beside me and fighting this fire. Like, it is one of the, like, even right now I got goosebumps. It is one of the most phenomenal experiences and feelings that it's very hard to put words around, and anybody who could give themselves that opportunity mm-hmm. would be blessed by it.
Mm-hmm. And you say that when you're together out there, it's like you're almost like the group of you, like 10 of you, is almost like breathing as one.
You
like
are,
you're one.
You year. Are uh-huh. You listen to your line. They call it a line. Everyone mm-hmm. Drops their tools. There's a couple different tools that are spread out through the line. And when someone says, hold the line, you stop.
Mm-hmm.
When someone says, move the line, a chain, which is so many feet, you move the line. When mm-hmm. someone says, hold up, move it back, you do. When someone has to stop and drink water, you all stop and drink water. When it's time to eat, you all stop and eat.
Mm-hmm. So it's really bonding. Wow, that's great. So the women are going to be starting up pretty soon.
Yep.
Maybe they're already out there.
They might be out today. Lieutenant Becker said they're waiting any moment. They're waiting for a call out.
Yeah, hopefully it won't be too bad this year.
Well, you know, unfortunately, just the way the season has already been, Lieutenant Becker said that there's currently 200 fires going in the state of Oregon.
So there's a lot to do.
And you know, and on that respect, the rest of us, you know, we can really try to do our best by digging a big enough area around where we're going to start a campfire, making sure things are put out, you know what I mean? Watering
fire
things
safety.
That we can. Yes,
yes.
Just very basic fire safety.
Thank you. Well, we've been talking tonight with Crystal Magana, who is a parolee from Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, where she served on the Women's Fire Crew. And again, there are four fire crews now at Coffee Creek with 62 women. And shout out to the women firefighters. Thank you so much for your service to our community.
Yes, thank you.
And if you want to find out more about that, you can go to the Coffee Creek Correctional Facility website and you can learn more about it. And Crystal, thank you so much for joining us. That we could have talked so much more tonight, but unfortunately we're out of time. So thank you so much for joining us tonight on Prison Pipeline.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, and have a good evening.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring for a membership director. a morning news and public affairs director, and an evening news and public affairs director. The deadline to apply for these three full-time positions has been extended to July 18th by 11:59 p.m. KBOO Community Radio is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. For more information on these positions and how to apply, just go to kboo.fm/employment today.
Hello, KBOO members. Thank you for being part of our amazing community. It takes all of us to manage this great community resource, and the role played by the KBOO Board of Directors is essential. Here's an opportunity for you to join the KBOO Board and become part of the team that is guiding our daily work and representing the interests and visions of all of our members. Please consider applying to become a KBOO Board member if you want to help serve our community and put your gifts and talents to good use. There is a time commitment of about 15 hours a month for all board members, and you must be a KBOO member. To apply, go to kboo.fm and fill out an application, or stop by the station to pick up a paper copy. The deadline to apply is July 13, 2019. We are looking for folks who love KBOO, who are committed to our community, and who want to carry forward KBOO's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. KBOO needs you. Apply today.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Next up is Hard Knock Radio.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.